Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Friday, May 15th, 2020. Lawmakers pledge support for industry. By Mella McEwen. M-M-C-E-W-E-N at MRT.com. Elected officials representing various parts of Texas pledged their support for the energy industry this week as the Port of Corpus Christi held a virtual Texas Energy Day event with a focus on managing the importance of energy to America amid the COVID-19 pandemic. This has been a double whammy for Texas Energy Section, U.S. Senator Ted Cornyn said. Not only have we seen demand drop precipitously, but Saudi Arabia and the Russians flooded the market with cheap oil. He recounted how he and his fellow Texas Senator Ted Cruz, along with 11 other senators from oil-producing states, recently held a forceful call with Saudi officials to emphasize how the U.S. offered them military security and supported them on foreign policy. They expect votes from us for our alliance when it comes to their security. They shouldn't treat us as an ally this way. Cruz concurred. We leaned on the Saudis hard. Both senators praised the Main Street lending facility as ways to provide funding for the oil and gas industry, with Cruz detailing his work on the program's rules to ensure the energy industry could qualify. President Trump and the Secretaries of Energy and Commerce are tuned into the damage being done to the energy sector and are as committed as we are that we get through this together until demand improves. U.S. Representative Michael Cloud, whose 27th congressional district includes Corpus Christi, said efforts to have the government buy crude for Strategic Petroleum Reserve have so far stalled, but he expressed hope those efforts would make it into subsequent aid bills. Energy is so important, he said. Whatever our comeback story looks like, energy will be a huge part of it. U.S. Representative Lizzie Fletcher pointed out that she represents Houston, the energy capital of the world, which is seeing major cuts as companies shed jobs and refiners reduce activity. These are real challenges affecting everyone. She said there are smart, strategic, long-term moves Congress can take to help, such as allowing operators to store crude in the strategic reserve and ensuring the low interest rate. Forgivable loans designed to help small businesses also go to companies of all forms of energy. Investment in infrastructure and removing barriers to constructing energy infrastructure could also spur economic growth. U.S. Representative Henry Cuellar of the 28th Congressional District said, "We need more infrastructure. We needed infrastructure before COVID-19. We need it now, and we'll need it after COVID-19. As Congress considers more COVID-19 assistance, Cuellar said he hopes to see a bill that provides highway funding amid a bill that provides water infrastructure funding. I used to say, how do we pay for it? But now we're going to have a $4 trillion to $5 trillion deficit, he said. I think we'll do a water bill. Hopefully, we'll do a highway bill as well. But before economies can reopen and demand for crude and refined products begin to recover, said Fletcher, we need a national coordinated strategy to manage the virus. We need testing and isolation of those who test positive so we can reopen the economy. Those are critical. Google report says Midlanders are going out more. By Caitlin Randall. C-R-A-N-D-L-E. At MRT.com. A Google mobility report released last week that tracks a community's response to the coronavirus pandemic shows Midlanders are going to public places significantly more than they were a month ago. The report uses individuals' cell phone location histories to track how often they visit different locations. While the number of visits to all public places has dropped from the baseline, which represents pre-pandemic averages, visits are up from a month ago when Google released the first mobility report. Visits to parks have increased 42% since April, while visits to retail and recreation locations increased 15%, and visits to grocery stores are up 3%. Compared to the baseline, visits to these locations are down 3% at parks, 26% at retailers, and 16% at grocery stores. The lowest dip in visits to public places occurred in mid-April, according to the report. At that time, visits to retailers fell to about 60% below the baseline, and visits to grocery stores were down 40% from the baseline. Since then, visits to public spaces have slowly increased, likely in line with Governor Greg Abbott's first phase of reopening the economy, which allowed some businesses to reopen at 25% occupancy. Transit stations, or bus stops, are one of the areas where visits have decreased, down 14% since April. This could be the result of Easy Rider requiring riders to wear masks, a rule that was not in place at the time the first Google report was released. The May report also shows a 30% decline in visits to workplaces from the baseline, which suggests nearly a third of Midlanders are out of work or working from home. There was a 5% decline in workplace visits compared to April report. Compared to statewide data, Midlanders appear to be visiting public areas less than Texans as a whole. Visits to retailers statewide are up 23% from a month ago, and visits to grocery stores statewide are up 20% from a month ago. Visits to parks throughout Texas have increased 43% from a month ago and are actually up 16% from the pre-pandemic baseline. Ector traces twice as many as Midland, by Caitlin Randall, CRANDLE at MRT.com. The Ector County Health Department has contacted almost 2.5 times as many people through contact tracing of those with the coronavirus than the City of Midland Health Department, despite a higher number of confirmed positives in Midland County. A public information officer for Ector County reported Wednesday that 1,301 individuals have been contacted by the health department because they came into contact with someone with COVID-19, while the Midland Health Department has contacted 557 individuals, according to Health Senior Services Manager Whitney Craig. Craig said during Wednesday's Unified Command Team meeting that they have contacted fewer people than Ector County because the majority of Midland's cases are confined to Midland Medical Lodge. Most of our cases are in one congregate location, so their contact can only be counted once, she said. Therefore, most of our cases aren't going to have as many cases as, say, somebody that isn't associated with the lodge, because we are only counting the contact as one individual, not for each case we have. 43 residents of Midland Medical Lodge have tested positive for the coronavirus, according to the Reporter Telegram records. There have been 112 confirmed positives in Midland County and 102 in Ector County. Ector County is contacting about 13 people per case, while the Midland Health Department is contacting about 5 people per case. If residents from Midland Medical Lodge were excluded from the total cases because of overlap, the Health Department would have contacted about 8 individuals per case. MOSC conductor looks forward to new season, by J.C. Lewis. jacy.lewis@hearstnp.com. After the cancellation of the remainder of this season, Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale music director and conductor Gary Lewis is looking forward to the new season. The 2021 season consists of 4 pops and family concerts and 3 masterworks concerts, announced last week. We were so disappointed not to be able to finish the season that we had with two really terrific performances planned, Lewis said. It was just devastating for us to not be able to finish the season. MOSC committed to paying musicians for the canceled shows. I'm really proud that the Midland-Odessa Symphony and Chorale agreed to pay the musicians for those last two performances, he said. Lewis said the new season shows a lot of great variety. The Pops and Family series includes E.T. the Extraterrestrial in concert, Sounds of the Season, Sinatra and Beyond, and The Music of Queen. The Masterworks series will feature soprano Barbara Padilla from America's Got Talent for Concierto de Amor, with music by Manuel de Falla, Alberto Ginastera, and Arturo Marquez. MOSC's principal oboe, Karen Crutchfield, will be featured in the January show of Mostly Mozart. Cellist David Requiro will be featured in April for Elgar's Cello Concert and Tchaikovsky's famous works, including his Fourth Symphony. We're going to start the season in October this year, hopefully, with playing the score of the movie E.T., Lewis said. A couple of years ago, we did the same thing with Wizard of Oz. We screened the movie live, and then another orchestra played the score. He said the Padilla's performance will be a crossover concert because she will be singing everything from opera arias to more popular Latin-inspired music. The Sounds of the Season concert will also feature the chorale and the voices of the Permian Basin Youth Choir. This year's featured soloist from MOSC is Crutchfield. We will surround her with some works by Mozart, including his Last Symphony, which is fabulous. Tony Desserre will be the featured singer for Sinatra and Beyond, which is in March. Lewis said Desserre has a Frank Sinatra and Larry Connick Jr. type of voice. The 2021 pop season ends with The Music of Queen. It's going to be a fabulous evening, Lewis said. I think the orchestra did that many years ago, before my time, and people have been clamoring for it ever since. I can't think of a more exciting and audience-friendly season than the one that we have planned. He said it is difficult to say which program is his favorite. All of the young repertoire that we have chosen for our Masterworks concerts I love a lot. We have amazing guest artists. I love the music of Frank Sinatra and that era. I grew up as a jazz musician, and so there's just something about every program that I really love, and I know our patrons will too. Lewis said it is rare for a community the size of Midland and Odessa to have an orchestra of this caliber. I think sometimes we kind of take for granted how talented and amazing these musicians are. And when you couple that with a world-class concert hall like the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, it's an amazing product. I'm really honored to be a part of it. He said the work goes beyond the WN pack as well. The work that musicians do in the community as music educators and as teachers is really stunning. Lewis said the MOSC is thankful for the support of the Permian Basin has shown, especially during this health crisis. Big Sky Drive-In to reopen Memorial Day weekend by J.C. Lewis, jacy.lewis@hearstmp.com. The Big Sky Drive-In will be reopening May 22nd in time for Memorial Day weekend, according to Facebook post. The theater has taken precautions to be able to safely reopen within the CDC, state, and city guidelines. There will be a limited menu for the first few weeks, and phone-in concession orders will be accepted. Groups entering the concession building will be limited to 2 people at a time. Staff is recommending the patrons wear a face mask when entering the concession. A single feature will be $6. Children 5 and younger will be free. It is recommended that patrons buy tickets online for contactless purchase. Parking will be limited to 50% capacity in accordance with state laws. Customers should park only where they see green dots, according to the post. The playgrounds will be closed and children need to remain in the vehicle at all times. The restrooms will be open. Those who are sick, running a fever, or have been exposed to coronavirus are asked to stay home, according to the Post. Experts assess energy's future amid COVID-19. Port of Corpus Christi hosts discussions on how to manage energy's importance by Mella McEwen, MMCEWEM, at MRT.com. After the ban on exporting U.S. crude was lifted at the end of 2015, the Port of Corpus Christi built itself into one of the top facilities, sending crude from West Texas to other parts of the world. As the coronavirus pandemic has shuttered economies worldwide and erased about 30% from the world's oil demand, port officials pondered what's next. They hosted a virtual event, dubbed Texas Energy Day, on Wednesday to discuss how to manage the importance of energy in America during the COVID-19 crisis. The panelists included Bob McCall, President and Chief Executive Officer and founder of Moda Midstream, Khalid Mushli, Executive President of Buckeye GP and President, Global Marine Terminals, Christopher Smith, Senior Vice President, Policy, Government, and Public Affairs for Cheniere Energy, and Todd Staples, President of the Texas Oil and Gas Association. Sean Strawbridge, Chief Executive Officer of the Port of Corpus Christi, addressed the issue with his first question to the group: does this signal the end of U.S. energy dominance? McCall said that a stable oil and gas industry has not only generated hundreds of thousands of jobs, but supports state and local governments through taxes and royalties. He also said energy had helped reduce the U.S. trade deficit. All of these are important things going forward. I think things will play out and we'll see how it goes. Mushli offered an upbeat assessment. I don't think we'll be able to stop the momentum developed over the past decade. Obviously, we're going through very challenging circumstances at the moment, but as we've been able to demonstrate in prior cycles, the industry has a tremendous degree of resilience to bounce back. The amount of infrastructure investment to support our ability to extract natural resources, not only to satisfy local demand, but put into global market, is exceptional. Clearly, we have to work at that to do that at the moment. I think we're seeing the markets be efficient. We're seeing price signals that demonstrate, at least to me, we do have the ability to bounce back from this. I absolutely believe the U.S. will continue to grab the market share. Again, thanks to advances in technology, infrastructure investment, and improvements across the entire sector, I do believe it's not the end. Smith said Cheniere is focused on operational excellence as it copes with global market challenges, but long-term fundamentals remain strong. He cited strong demand for natural gas and liquefied natural gas in the U.S. and rising demand in China. He said that over the next decade, European demand for U.S. LNG will rise as coal-fired power plants and nuclear power plants are shuttered. Asked what policy interventions could help the industry get back on its feet, Staples urged a continued focus on what made Texas the energy capital of the world. We've been focused on science-based regulation and a fair and predictable state business environment. The reason Texas is positioned to lead the economic recovery is the infrastructure we have, what I call the four P's: ports, pipelines, processing, and production. We have the assets because of fair policies that attracted growth and made us the world leader in energy. And we don't need to make changes to position our future. If we maintain good policies, we'll be able to recover. Anthony Adragna, energy reporter with Politico, asked the panel what policies Congress should consider to assist the energy. Our position is no policies specific to refining and petrochemicals, said Chet Thompson, president and CEO of American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers. The focus needs to be getting the country through the COVID-19 crisis. From a refining perspective, this is a demand crisis. We demand to come back. We need to get the economy and cities open again, and that takes time. We don't need to make things worse by having policies that long-term impede a free market. Jeff Morehouse, Senior Government Affairs Director with ClearPath, said what's needed is to pass a carbon research and development program, including enacting changes to the 45Q tax that would incentivize carbon capture projects. Charlie Rydell, executive director of the Center for Liquefied Natural Gas, said the legislation that artificially stimulates the industry is not needed. He said a second wave of LNG processing and export projects along the Texas coast will come to fruition, possibly later than expected, as economies reopen and energy demand recovers to near normal levels. It will be a bit of a prolonged process, but it's important to stress that these projects are seen in terms of long-term viability. We're not thinking 6 months from now, but 25 years, 30 years of operation. What the panelists don't want is tariffs on imported oil. That falls into the category of not making bad things worse. Implementing a policy we'll regret later, Thompson said. At the heart of this is inbound Saudi crude. One of those Saudi crude purchases were done months and months ago. There's a long line lead time needed. A number of our refineries are configured to run on medium and heavy sour crudes. Where can you get sour crudes? It's a global commodity, so some will come from Saudi, he said. There is crude our facilities need to compete in the global landscape right now. There's also the notion that Saudi crude or foreign crudes are displacing U.S. light sweet, and that's simply not true. It's likely displacing Canadian crude, Mexico's Mayan, or Russian crude. It's not negatively impacting domestic crude. The opinion page. Abbott has operated in a manner that is appropriate for Texas. There is a healthy debate taking place right now inside the state of Texas about balancing public health and the economy. It is hard to know what the right answer is. Editor Stuart Doreen has stated before that he could see a more open economy if people were required to wear masks. But overall, we support Governor Greg Abbott and the measures he has taken so far. We know that not everyone agrees with our view. Some people wanted to see the economy fully open a long time ago. They have their reasons, and for the most part, they are understandable. Others have said that the governor went too far, and it was the legislature, and not the governor, that should have called the shots in this one. We say good luck with that. Even if a special session had been called, the idea of the legislature coming to a consensus quickly with a common-sense plan is laughable. It's just not in their DNA. Are there questions about whether the governor should have the power that he has assumed over the past few weeks? Sure. That seems like a fair question, and during the next legislative session, there can be a spirited debate about that point. But it is far-fetched to think there have been Texas leaders chomping at the bit to put their ideas ahead of the governor. Abbott showed leadership that prevented Texas from becoming another state overrun by coronavirus cases. He also seems very open to bringing the economy back as fast as possible. We think he has operated in a manner that has been appropriate for Texas. But apparently, some people are ready to kick the governor to the curb. Good luck with that. If someone wants to overthrow Abbott in an intra-party challenge, they better be armed with more than an endorsement from a salon owner. The most conservative governor some of us will ever know deserves better. And so does conservatism. We were shocked and saddened to learn about the stabbing of a Midland ISD employee Tuesday morning in central Midland. All our prayers go to the Fannin Elementary family and those who knew 44-year-old Iracema Diaz. We were horrified that events such as this homicide would take place, and we wish her family and friends Godspeed in dealing with their loss. We want to take this opportunity to thank those who came together on the Fannin Elementary campus Tuesday night to celebrate Diaz. In a dark hour, we saw the best in Midlanders, who delivered flowers and gathered to support the family. Thank you to the Facebook site MISD Homework for promoting the event. Your support of education and those working for the district was evident this week. We urge all Midlanders to take a moment to think of Diaz and perhaps say a prayer for her family. Obituaries and death notices. John G. Haney, Mopar Man, born June 2, 1967 in Big Spring, Texas, grew up on the farm in Lomax, Texas. He went to school in Stanton. He lived his entire life on the farm. He left us to a better place on May 12th after a battle with cancer at the age of 52. In lieu of flowers, family would like donations to Hospice of Midland for the wonderful help they provided to John and his family. Visitation will be Friday, May 15th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home and Crematory. Services will be held Saturday, May 16th at 3 p.m. at Rest Haven North Chapel. Betty Lou Collier, 91, of Midland, passed away on Wednesday, May 13th. Graveside services will be Friday, May 15th at 2 p.m. at Fairview Cemetery. Arrangements were made with Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. She is survived by her daughter Delinda Beatty, 2 sons, 10 grandchildren, 14 great-grandchildren, and 5 great-great-grandchildren. Juliana Flores passed away May 12th. She leaves to cherish her memory son Roberto Beto Flores. Arrangements were under the direction of Stanton Memorial Funeral Home and Chapel. May Kinchlow Sims, 69, of Midland, passed away on May 13th in Midland. May was born on May 8th, 1951, to Elizabeth and Grover Sims. No services have been scheduled at this time. Arrangements are by the American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home and Crematory.
Hi, this is I'm reading the Odessa American for Friday, May 15th, Section A. Banding together. Consortium forms to make face shields. By Ruth Campbell. A consortium of people and institutions from across the Permian Basin have banded together to make personal protective equipment for medical providers with 3D printers. 4 Ector County ISD career and technical education teachers are just a fraction of the group that spans into physicians, deans, and librarians from Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, the University of Texas Permian Basin, Odessa College, Midland College, Museum of the Southwest, and U.S. Navy recruiter Elias Gray, among others. Career and technical education teachers from Odessa and Permian high schools are making shield components. They include Adolfo Zubia and Rosa Glover from OHS and Jose Bautista and Maria Rincon from PHS. The group is headed by Dr. Natalia Schlabritz-Lutsevich at Texas Tech. There are a lot of us who are doing everything, every aspect. Then we turned them into UTPB, where they actually put them together, Glover said. Each part of the group, called Shields for Souls, makes a part of the face shields. Zubia said they have turned in 210 mask buckles. Zubia, a teacher at OHS, said they 3D print the model the group wants. He said they have been making shield components since mid-April. I think it's a great opportunity to help the community, not only being teachers in the classroom helping our kids, but also helping the community through these difficult times. Permian teacher Jose Bautista said. Zubia said it takes about 20 minutes to make a mask buckle, and Glover said it's usually made in batches. 6 buckles would take about 3 hours. It's not an exact science when it comes to time, because sometimes you might print some perfect ones and then some might fail, and then you redo it and change some settings to get it right. You don't get it right every single time, Zubia said. Bautista noted that if you print constantly, you have to be there to watch it. Glover said Ector County ISD's executive director of CTE, Carla Byrne, got them involved in the project. She's aware that we had 3D printing capabilities, Zubia said. She's very involved, so she knows what we have and what we don't have. So when she heard about the opportunity, what professionals were doing, she said, well, maybe we can get involved too. She let us know, and we went from there. At this point, Zubia said, there are no plans to stop. There is no end game, he said. We're going to do it until the needs are fulfilled. The shields have gone to area hospitals and clinics throughout West Texas, as far away as Presidio, Pecos, and Monahans. Glover said there are really a lot of people involved. Zubia said a conference call is conducted from 4:30 to 6 p.m. every Tuesday, and the group is constantly adding new members. Bautista, like his colleagues, never thought he would be using his skills in this way. I thought we would be printing toys for our projects, prototypes and stuff like that. Nothing like this, he said. Eric Wilkinson, regional director of the library at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, got a text from one of the faculty members at the end of March with a news story about 3 people involved in 3D printing of personal protective equipment for healthcare professionals. Ever since he was given the green light to print PPE, Wilkinson has been making his shield frames at home in Andrews. I'm 3D printing the frame, kind of the top part of the face shields. Then once I've done those, I take them up to Odessa Bible Church, drop them off for cleanup and assembly and future distribution, Wilkinson said. It's basically how the women, when they play tennis, they have a cap they wear, but they have the ability to have their ponytail sticking out the back. It's kind of like that. So it's open on the top and it kind of sits on the top of the head, and we have the ability to put a clear shield in front of it, either by punching a hole or sticking it into the frame itself, he added. Wilkinson said Gray has about 10 printers going at the Odessa Bible Church, but other people are also bringing up the parts for the face shields and dropping them off. He said he has dropped off shields at Permian Regional Medical Center in Andrews, and they were very happy to get them. Wilkinson said if he made the frames singly, it would take about an hour, but Gray is printing them in sets of 3, and they're stacked one on top of the other. They take about 3.5 to 4 hours to print. The way they're designed, you just kind of break them apart very carefully, and then you have the individual pieces that you can attach the clear shield to, he said. Wilkinson said he has loved being able to help out. It's kind of interesting because when we first started 3D printing at the library at TTUHSC in Odessa, we realized it's going to be the future. It's kind of a weird silver lining during the pandemic that 3D printers have kind of found their place. The ability to make PPE in such a quick manner and get it to the healthcare professionals as quickly as possible, he said. George H.W. Bush, New Tech Odessa fashion teacher Cynthia Alcorn also has been helping out by making masks. Alcorn, her mother, and a friend worked together on them. She said their friend helped cut them, and she and her mother constructed them. They have material on hand from donations over the past year. They made about 100 masks, or a little bit over that. and they were set to go to the daycare center for the medical community at Zavala Elementary School. Our CTE team is like a family, truly, Alcorn said. It's an extraordinary group of people, so we're very used to working together for any reason. It's just, whether it's just a requirement, or whether it's to help other people, or to help kids, or whatever, so it really wasn't unusual or surprising. Sometimes fashion class can go under the radar, but she tried to stress to students that they have a skill and a talent now that can really help. And of course, anything for the community that we can do, we want to do. That's one of the lessons I try to teach my kids in fashion. There's a lot of glamour and a lot of struggle for what's reality and what's not reality as far as the fashion world goes, and money and self-acknowledgement. But one of the lessons that I really love to teach my kids is that you have a skill now that you can use to pursue a very successful and very lucrative career. But you also have a skill which you can use to bless others and use on a personal level. So I think that's fun. And it was fun to share with the kids what I was doing, Alcorn said. The students weren't able to help because not all of them have machines at home. But I'm sure they would have loved it because it's one of their favorite things. But to get to model that for them, that's the heart of what we do in my classroom, is how do you use what you've been given for the good, she added. Graduation plan and guidelines. Ector County ISD has announced plans to celebrate the class of 2020 with an eye toward health and safety and social distancing guidelines. These are the plans. Virtual graduation streamed at the originally scheduled day and time for each graduation ceremony. The pre-recorded event includes speeches, and every senior being given the chance to participate by submitting a photo, message, or short video. With the online celebration, students can still share this moment with family, friends, and the academic community. The watch page URL will be shared with schools and students. ECISD will also share the URL on https://www.ectorcountyisd.org/. District and campus social media pages, and also send out a parent link with the URL information. Odessa Collegiate Academy, 10 a.m., May 22nd. OC Techs, noon, May 22nd. George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa, 2 p.m., May 22nd. Permian High School, 8:30 p.m., May 22nd. Odessa High School, 8:30 p.m., May 23rd. Light Up Ratliff Stadium on graduation nights in honor of our 2020 graduates. Traditional graduation for our 2020 graduates at a later date. Personalized yard signs for each graduate. Higher education institution and career path yard signs posted at the high schools to celebrate choices made by graduates. Top 10 graduates recognized during the virtual board meeting, May 19th. Graduation vehicle processional. The district will provide an opportunity for graduates to drive by the school staff and have a diploma cover and commencement program handed to them by the principal, giving the graduate and parents a chance to experience a graduation ceremony this spring. These vehicle processions will take place during the final week of school as follows. Odessa Collegiate Academy, 8 to 9 p.m. Monday, at Odessa College campus. OC Techs, 7 to 8 p.m. Monday at Odessa College campus. George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa, 6:45 to 8 p.m. May 19th at New Tech Odessa campus. Permian High School, 7 to 10 p.m. May 20th at Ratliff Stadium. Odessa High School, 7 to 10 p.m. May 21st at Ratliff Stadium. Processional guidelines. Only vehicles with signs distributed by the campus will be allowed into the Ratliff Stadium parking lot. No other vehicles will be allowed into the stadium parking lot. All vehicles will follow the processional. Traffic flow maps are posted at www.ectorcountyisd.org. Graduates may have family in the vehicle. No trailers can be attached to a vehicle and no riders in the back of pickup trucks. Everyone in the vehicle must answer the screening questions required by the minimum standard health protocols. Be prepared to answer the following screening questions. New or worsening signs or symptoms of possible COVID-19. Cough, shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, chills, repeated shaking with chills, muscle pain, headache, sore throat, loss of taste or smell, diarrhea, feeling feverish or a measured temperature greater than or equal to 100 degrees Fahrenheit, known close contact with a person who is lab confirmed to have COVID-19. No one is allowed to exit the vehicle at any time during the processional. No one is allowed to ride on top or outside the vehicle. Graduates are encouraged to wear cap and gown and face mask or gloves. Graduates may decorate the vehicle. Graduates will promptly leave the area after receiving diploma cover. All student code of conduct rules apply during the event. Odessa Development Corporation Talks Task Force by Michael Merlot. During Thursday's virtual Odessa Development Corporation meeting, board members discussed multiple plans that could help the community stay afloat during the COVID-19 crisis. The conversations ranged from incorporating broadband and public Wi-Fi, encouraging potential businesses to enter the area, and helping underprivileged students continue their education in Odessa. In early April, the Odessa City Council approved of ODC funds to purchase an emergency Perryman study for $127,200. Dr. Ray Perryman presented the study to help develop such plans to maintain the local economy through the oil bust and the COVID-19 crisis, saying that this crisis is different than an economic crisis because it is a health crisis. If we can keep the structure together and keep it functional, then as we solve the health problem, the economy can start to come back pretty rapidly, he said. He said that fundamentally the oil and gas problem is a demand problem due to the economy shutting down, and that when demand starts coming back, it doesn't have to come all the way back to get back to a viable market with prices that sustain us. If we get half the world demand back, we'll be in a situation where we have an orderly market, and that can happen pretty quickly as we start to open up the economy. He said that it is important to be doing what we can to keep our workforce together, to keep the things going that we had going before in terms of things we're trying to do to build up the community and prepare for the future still need to be done because the world is going to need all this oil being produced out here and all those things are going to happen again. They're just going to happen on a little different time frame, he said. He said that the community doesn't want to see the industry dismantled, and he thinks it's important to support the local employees who are in the oil and gas industry and start an education campaign for them to encourage those employees to stay in Odessa or be prepared to come back very quickly. He also said that part of the campaign is to show Austin and Washington, D.C. how important the Permian Basin is to the Texas and national economy. A copy of the study can be found in the ODC meeting agenda at tinyurl.com/Y9F7PHNW. In other COVID-19 related news, Medical Center Hospital received a case of 40 vials of remdesivir, Thursday out of the 1,200 sent out to 15 different hospitals in the state. MCH Director of Public Relations Trevor Tankersley said that the 40 vials is enough to cover about 6 patients based on the dosage with the 5-day treatment plan, and that the drug is being currently used on a trial basis from the state. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County confirmed cases 103. Ector County negative 1,477 out of 1,707 tested, with 127 pending, 4 deaths. Midland County 116 confirmed out of 2,248 tested, 12 deaths. Texas 43,851 confirmed, with 623,284 tested. Total Texas deaths, 1,216. U.S. cases, 1,384,930 total confirmed, and 83,947 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Pet clinics. Fix West Texas has scheduled a vaccination and microchip clinic Saturday by appointment only. Clinics will be set up from 1 to 3 p.m. at Grace Christian Fellowship, 3450 Billy Hext Road, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. at Haverty's, 4110 Loop 250 Frontage Road in Midland, and 7 to 8 p.m. at First United Methodist Church, 208 East Santa Ana Street in Stanton. Venmo payment is required within 24 hours of booking to secure appointment. No refunds. Venmo, hashtag FixWestTexas. Book appointment at FixWestTexas.org. For more information, email registration@FixWestTexas.org or visit tinyurl.com/YAMJXTA6. Virtual Pet Talent Show. Haley's Haven of Midland has scheduled a virtual pet talent show starting at noon May 23rd on its Facebook page, tinyurl.com/YBE2POMU. The event is for children ages 5 through 12 and their pets. Submit a 3-minute video of what you and your pet can do, along with proof of your $10 entry fee, can be done at hhwr.org. Add comment pet show with donation to wildhearts@hhwr.org. Submission deadline is Wednesday. For those chosen, they will have a chance to show off skills to the public at the virtual pet talent show. Winners will receive a gift basket full of cool stuff, and a gift for the sponsorship hero will also be awarded. There will also be guest speakers who will speak on some important issues, both animal and kid related. For more information, call 870-532-7296 or email wildhearts@hhwr.org. Education Foundation of Odessa awards $23,000 to the arts in ECISD. The Education Foundation of Odessa has awarded $23,000 to Fine Arts in Ector County ISD for the 2020-21 school year through its innovative grant program. These awards are granted in partnership with Odessa Arts and Math New. Each year, Odessa Arts awards the Education Foundation a matching grant, and those funds are used to grant awards to secondary fine arts teachers in ECISD for special projects and programming. This year, Education Arts granted the Education Foundation $7,500 in matching grant funds. New used his newfound fame on The Voice to host a concert in December with all proceeds benefiting the Education Foundations in Midland and Odessa. This concert resulted in $8,000 being made available to ECISD Performing Arts. Each year, teachers, principals, and administrators from across the district submit proposals to the Education Foundation. A committee made up of foundation board members reviews each grant and comes to a consensus on which projects to fund. Grants are evaluated on their innovation, creativity, student need being addressed, sustainability, and content. This year, the committee reviewed 95 proposals and funded 47 requests. Since the foundation's inception, and including this year, the Education Foundation has awarded more than $2.6 million to fund innovative and creative projects in the classroom for ECISD students. Grants include Permian High School, teacher Luis Carlos Trejo Fuentes, student-run digital fine arts publication, $1,444.38. Botanical Garden, $2,393.07. Teacher Courtney Branscom, Growing the Guard, $3,000. Teachers Kristen Carter, Gayla Garza, Courtney Branscom, a new state-of-the-art sound system for the dance department, $2,500. Odessa High School, teachers Ginger Story and Rob Rogers, updated sound equipment, choir, $4,619.05. Teachers Krista Real, Chiree Lemaster, Gallery of Emotions, $1,427. Teacher Chiree Lemaster, Setting the Scene, $2,797.50. Wilson and Young Medal of Honor Middle School, teacher Channing Freeman, replacement frames for xylophones, $924. Bonham Middle School, teachers Alex Pettigrew, Hector Izaguirre, and Brian Barrientes. Basic Fundamentals, $3,895. Six new members inducted into Pi Sigma Alpha. Sol Ross State University's Political Science Department initiated six new members into the SRSU chapter of Pi Sigma Alpha during a virtual induction ceremony held April 29th. Spring 2020 inductees include Brandon Barnett, Joshua, Colin Caldwell, Uvalde, Isaac Mendez, El Paso, Jessica Turner, Fort Davis, Lindsay Hall Schwegman, Live Oak, and Manuel Fawcett, Presidio. Faculty members present included Mark Saka, Jim Case, and Jessica Velasco. Sean Toomley, Executive Director of Pi Sigma Alpha, joined the ceremony to welcome the new members and tell them about the benefits of membership. Celebrating its 100th anniversary, Pi Sigma Alpha, or PSA, the National Political Science Honor Society, is the only honor society for college and university students of political science in the United States. Its purpose is to recognize and promote high academic achievement in the field of political science. PSA is a member of the Association of College Honor Societies, ACHS, and adheres to all the standards set by ACHS for an upper division specialized honor society. Seniors honored with drive-by celebration at Ratliff Stadium by Michael Bauer. For seniors all across the country, it's been a wave of emotions for the last few months, with schools having to adjust to a virtual setting and shutting down campuses for the remainder of the school year. There have been a number of obstacles that they have had to face. The same is especially true for at-risk children. Regardless, some are looking at it from a different perspective. For Permian senior Adrian Duarte, being a part of the class of 2020 means he's a part of history. It feels awesome because people are going to be talking about it years to come, Duarte said. It's fun to be a part of that historic class. Duarte is one of many communities in schools of the Permian Basin students who was honored in a drive-by senior celebration Thursday at Ratliff Stadium. He'll be attending Odessa College in the fall and plans on getting his barber's license. Communities in Schools is an organization that helps youngsters who are having trouble with academics, behavior, or have other social service needs. The staff members are there to make sure a student has what they need for support. Usually at this time of the year, the organization holds a banquet to honor its seniors, but due to COVID-19 restrictions, they had to search for another way to honor their graduates. We figured the next best thing was to do a drive-by ceremony to give them their graduation cords and their gifts and their certificates, program coordinator Hilda Sanchez said. It may have been a different setting, but the seniors were still happy to be recognized. For me, coming out here with my family means a lot to me because with everything that's been going on, it's been crazy, Permian senior Nayeli Nicholas said. I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for CIS. Nicholas, who plans on attending Odessa College this fall for her basic education before transferring to Texas Tech University to work on her nursing degree, says that Communities and Schools has always been there for her. I had to write an essay about what CIS meant to me, and it means more than just an organization, Nicholas said. It's a family that I'm glad to be a part of. Nicholas was one of 16 CIS scholarship applicants who received a laptop courtesy of Israel Medina of the Medina Law Firm in Odessa. Odessa High School senior Debris Pride was another applicant who received a laptop. It means something special to me, Pride said. It's great to know that I get a laptop for my college life, which will make everything easier for me. Pride plans on attending UTPB in the fall to get her nursing degree. It's good to be close to home because I know that no matter what, I'll have my family close by and I'll always have a place to live while I'm in college, Pride said. I won't have to worry about certain things. For Medina, being able to donate laptops and to help the students means everything. I can identify with these kids, Medina said. I'm from Odessa. I'm from West Texas. I wasn't born super poor, but my family struggled, and we've been able to overcome a lot growing up. I was blessed to have family that was able to help me, and I'm glad to be able to help these kids out in turn. While it's been a rough couple of months, the seniors were glad to know that their teachers were and are still helping them. For me, it means a lot, Nicholas said. Teachers are going out of their way to help us students to find a way to graduate. And I feel that the class of 2020, we've been through so many things and we're finally getting to do graduation.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.